More and more, we become aware that Christian people are under attack. I heard a radio statement yesterday saying that 2015 was far worse than 2014 in regard to the persecution of Christians. And the Church of Jesus is under attack. The enemies of God try to make Christians look foolish and weak. They imprison, they persecute them. They stir up division within the church itself. They try to silence God's people or cause them to become inactive or impotent. What do we do when we find ourselves under attack? Today's psalm was written as an intercessory prayer for when the people of God fall under attack. The enemies listed in this psalm come from every side. They're coming from the north, from the west, from the south, and even from the east. Judah is vulnerable. But to better understand this psalm, it's helpful a little bit to know its possible context. And there are several different incidences in the Bible that fit this profile. I'm sure that this psalm was probably used on more than one occasion as Judah found itself under attack. It was written down for a reason. That means so you could use it again and again. One such incident was our Old Testament reading from 1 Chronicles 5. We have here the mention of the Hagrites invading the three tribal area in the southern Israel. And this is the only place that the Hagrites are mentioned, although most scholars think the Hagrites are descendants from Hagar, which also means the Ishmaelites or the Arabs. But in this reading, you heard that they won the battle. They were certainly able-bodied men. They were warriors. They were well-trained in defense and offense, but they needed God's help. And they won, not because there was 44,760 of them, but because God helped them. And they gave glory to God because God helped them. I chose that story because it's probably one that you weren't that familiar with. It's often overlooked. When we read those genealogical listings, and it's in the middle of one of those, and we can read those quickly and not find it. Other scholars think that this psalm could have been written during the account recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in that story, King Jehoshaphat prays when he learns that the Moabites, Amorites, and others are planning on attacking Judah. Indeed, they have already seen these armies conquer their neighbors, and they are not that far away. Jehoshaphat prays that God will judge these nations that are attacking God's people. He prays first. And then, because he has prayed, God sends a prophet named Jahaziel to the king. Jahaziel tells Jehoshaphat that the battle is not theirs, but God's. He tells Jehoshaphat to go down with his army to the wilderness of Jeruel. He even tells them the exact route that they are to take. But he tells them that you're not going to need to fight. All you have to do is watch and see what Yahweh is going to do. After hearing that word, Jehoshaphat the king leads the people in worship, and this is all-out revival. They pray, they fall on their faces, they praise, they stand up and shout, they sing, they're quiet, they're loud, they're bowed down, they have raised hands, and the worship doesn't stop there. As they obey the word of the Lord, according to what Jehaziel says, Jehoshaphat has the singers go in front of the army as they head out into the wilderness. And the singers are praising and singing to God. Then when they get there, they witness all these invaders turning on one another. The invaders proceed to kill each other off. Why did they do that? Why did they fight? Were they fighting over the spoils of war that they had conquered? Only God knows. But God is the one who allowed it to happen, who made it happen. Then the army of Judah, without ever lifting a sword, is able to go down and take the plunder. And then they continue to sing and praise God all the way back to the capital. There are other stories we could have read as well. There is a story of armies again getting ready to attack, and then God tells them to wait, and when you hear the sound of me marching in the trees, that's your signal. God's deliverance is not a one-time thing. Just as the psalmist and these other folks prayed, because God had done it in the past, God could do it again for them in their situation right now. And God will do it again. When we are under attack, we can leave the battle to God and know that God can handle it. God will take care of it. You see, an attack on God's people is an attack on God. The psalmist emphasizes this. In Psalm 83:2, we see him say that these are God's enemies who hate God and who come against God's people. In verse 5, Asaph, the psalmist, says that the enemies make a covenant against God. When God's church is under attack, it is an attack on God. When Christians are persecuted, it is an attack on Jesus. Jesus himself told us this. In John 15:20, he said, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And in Luke 21 and Matthew 10, Jesus said that we will be persecuted and hated on account of him. Because an attack on God is a spiritual attack, it must be combated with spiritual warfare, with prayer being the greatest weapon. In all of these stories, prayer came first. They didn't strategize and figure out what they were going to do. They prayed. Too often when we are under attack, prayer becomes a last resort. But in all of these, God is sought first. They pray for protection. They pray for deliverance. And after praying, they act on God's revealed word. They don't take matters into their own hands. They don't pray and then go on and do what they want. They wait for God to speak, and then they obey immediately what God tells them to do. This is even true in the stories to which Asaph refers in the psalm. Because God delivered in the past, God can deliver now. And so Asaph says, do what you did back then in the book of Judges. And he appeals to two different stories. He first recounts the story of when the Canaanites attacked Israel in Judges 4 and 5. And then he appeals to the story of Gideon found in Judges 7 and 8. The Canaanites were attacking. Sisera and his armies were attacking Israel. In that story, Barak, the commander of the army at the time, goes to Deborah, who is the judge at the time, to seek a word from the Lord. See, he goes to seek God's guidance. Deborah assures him that God will win the battle. Barak asks Deborah to accompany him in battle, and she does, but she says that Sisera, the great general of the Canaanite army, is going to fall at the hands of a woman. My sixth grade girls love this story. They loved Deborah and Jael, and they love blood and gore, so they just really got into this. Well, what happens is Sisera hides in the tent of a woman named Jael. And Jael's smart. She gives him warm milk to drink and covers him up with a rug. Hide under here. Hide under this rug. They won't be able to find you. And so he's all nice and cozy after having warm milk and being under a rug. And he falls asleep. And she takes a tent peg and a hammer, and she drives that tent peg through his head. Then she opens her sash and says, "Look, here's your great general. He's dead in my tent." She was able to do that. Jabin, the Canaanite king, was subsequently defeated by Barak and his armies. In Judges 7 and 8, Gideon is chosen by God to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon is an unlikely candidate for a general. He is fearful, he's cowardly, and his father is a pagan priest. Yet God chooses him. Gideon doubts this call at first, but then he obeys, gathering together a group of men, most of whom God sends away. God gives Gideon a battle plan that involves confusing the army, most of whom, again, end up killing each other before being finished off by Gideon and the few ragtag men that he has with him. The four men listed in Psalm 83 are four Midianite leaders whom Gideon defeats. Gideon could have chosen not to send his most of his army away. Jehoshaphat could have chosen to attack the invaders instead of waiting on God's deliverance. But they trusted God's word and they saw God at work. The Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh in 1 Chronicles 5 could have relied on their well-honed battle skills, but they needed God's help. Barak could have doubted Deborah's word, but they prayed and then they obeyed. If we pray and don't obey, it does no good. Notice that in all of these accounts, God is the one who gets the glory from winning the battle, whether God uses human agents or acts independently and directly. The deliverance comes at the hand of God, and God is worshiped and glorified because of it. When Deborah sings her great song in Judges chapter 8, after the battle is won, she gives glory to God. The people in Judah in 2 Chronicles 20 give glory to God. In 2 Chronicles 5, we have recorded this in this story that the battle was God's. It was written down so it would not be forgotten. When the Israelites tried to make Gideon ruler after he defeated the Midianites, he said, "No, Yahweh is your ruler." When we are delivered from our enemies, God must receive the credit, even when human agents are involved. Not only was God worshipped by those being delivered, but the surrounding nations gave glory and reverence to God as well. The result is that those who prayed for deliverance also asked that God's name would be magnified even among their enemies. Yes, they prayed for justice, they prayed for deliverance, they prayed for protection, but they also prayed that their enemies would be defeated, ashamed, and humiliated so that they might call upon God's name. In verses 13 through 15 of Psalm 83, we see some creative metaphors for God driving the enemies away by pursuing them. In verse 17, there's even a petition that the enemies might perish. Nonetheless, those prayers don't stop there. They pray that the outcome would be that they would seek Yahweh's name, that they would know that Yahweh is the Most High over all the earth. In 2 Chronicles 20, the result of God defeating these armies was that there was peace for the remainder of King Jehoshaphat's reign, for the nations surrounding them feared Yahweh. The Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh also experience peace. Let go and let God is not just a cute little saying. It ought to be a way of life. Sally can testify to this. When we were doing the Experiencing God Bible study, this was one of the words of the Lord that came to her after she prayed more than once. And she is trying to live into that word that God has revealed, because once we hear it, we have to obey it. If we just go on and do our own thing, it doesn't do any good. And she can testify that she has seen God handle some tough situations, which again allows us and encourages us to trust God for the next thing that comes our way. God will deliver. God will fight your battles for you. When we let God fight our battles instead of taking matters into our own hands, God receives the glory and other people take notice, even among our enemies. Remember that when people come against you, that it's not that personal, that it's really an attack on God Himself. So it's already God's battle anyway. Last week, we talked about justice, that we are supposed to work for justice. But when it comes to retribution, that's God's job, because only God can judge fairly. We are recalled to respond with mercy. God will bring God's justice in God's time. But let us be fervent in prayer. Let us pray first and not as a last resort. Let us seek the glory of God. Even as we pray for deliverance, let us pray also that our enemies will come to know God, that they will give God glory and turn to God. And when let us wait and hear from the Lord, and when we hear, may we obey. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are strong and mighty and powerful, that we can let go and let you. We thank you that you work just the same today as you did in the past. When you fought all of those battles for Israel and Judah, you can fight our battles too. There is nothing that is impossible for you. Lord, you want your glory to be known throughout all the earth. So when we give it to you and let you handle it, you are glorified. May we come to you in prayer first. When we sense that we are being overwhelmed, when we sense that we are under attack, help us to remember that an attack on your people is an attack on you. So it's your battle to fight anyway. Lord, help us to be patient and to listen because you still speak. And sometimes you're yelling at us and we don't even pay any attention. Help us to listen, discern your voice, and when we hear, help us to obey. Again, that you might receive glory and our faith and our trust in you might deepen. Thank you that with you all things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together.